Well, Dr. Andrew Clark is the CEO and Vet Director of Living Legends. It's an organisation dedicated to housing retired champion racehorses at its property outside Melbourne, where it offers tourism and education opportunities linked to the animals. We discussed first the implications of the terrible scenes shown in slaughterhouses in the 7:30 revelations.
There will always have to be some animals slaughtered, and even if you move away from racehorses, as you know, as abhorrent it is to everybody that horses are slaughtered, the reality is that some will always be slaughtered. But if you're going to slaughter animals, it must be done humanely. There are procedures that can be put in place. There's training, there's proper facilities, there's oversight, there's welfare officers, there's veterinarians that you have at slaughterhouses. And this is clearly something that just has to be addressed. There has to be a whole set of regulations put around, especially these, you know, the knackeries and the views that were shown last night. That the treatment of those horses was just absolutely unacceptable. And to me, there should be prosecutions of it. Absolutely unacceptable. On the other side of it, you've got people that work in abattoirs can become brutalised, and they sort of forget that they're dealing with animals. But that's why you need to have the proper facilities, the trained people, and the oversight.
Is there another question here, the sort of a first principles question? So many horses are bred because the industry's striving to get the very finest quality animals for racing. I mean, that implies a big attrition rate. Is that an ethical question that needs to be confronted as well?
The industry's accepted that. There's too many horses being bred, so they do have to come to grips with that. Attrition is another challenge. And I know with Racing Victoria, for example, they're funding some projects at Melbourne University looking at ways of preventing injuries, etc., for horses. So cutting down ways of looking to cut down on attrition, etc. Clearly, you know, the breeding of horses and the attrition of horses is something that really does have to be looked at very closely.
So should the thoroughbred industry itself be compelled to take better stewardship of the animals that they're responsible for creating in the first place, I suppose, cradle to grave care? Because that's another element, isn't it? We're hearing that after horses are retired into, private owners, then that's it, hands washed.
The challenge really is once the horses have retired from racing, they go on to another life, which is maybe as a sport horse or as a riding horse. Or in our case, we've got two police horses or two race horses who went on to be police horses. And now when they retired from the police horse, they became really ambassadors and celebrities. So it's life after racing. So it can be difficult to follow those horses from cradle to grave in that context. And certainly it's something that's being addressed in New South Wales, but there's obviously a lot of issues in that approach to be cleared up by the show from last night. And I see that Martin Pakula, the racing minister in Victoria, is calling for Australia-wide basic cradle-to-grave monitoring of horses. They do have the implants, so it would be possible to follow them all the way through.
So you think that's a good idea then?
I think it's a very good idea.
What about who pays for it? I mean, there's a lot of prize money sloshing around, a lot of money sloshing around generally in the global thoroughbred trade and industry. Should they be putting more money towards this care at the end of horses' lives?
Yes, I think there is a need for more funding in the life after racing and the off-the-track programs. In the case of, say, Racing Victoria, 1% of prize money goes to horse welfare programs. But when you drill down on that a little bit, about $1.5 million goes to research, and that's projects to cut back the attrition and injury of horses, and that's very, very important. About $1.5 million goes, or $1.4 million goes to veterinary services, looking after horses on race day and post-race examinations, and there's only about $500,000 that goes into the off-the-track program, which is the main program that promotes life after racing for horses. You know, it's a good program. There's 50 retrainers and they sponsor events, etc. But I think certainly now is the time for a big increase in the funding of that program.
And who would make that decision? Would that be a case of the industry making that decision, or do we need, you know, legislated, mandated requirements around this nationally?
Well, I think basically each state has its own governance body. So in the case of Racing Victoria, it would be a decision for the Racing Victoria board. And I guess that's one of the challenges with the industry. There's the Australian Racing Board. When it gets down to the final decisions on dollars and cents, it comes down to each jurisdiction. Certainly, though, a Australia-wide approach, as promoted by Martin Pakula today, would be the way to go.
Dr. Andrew Clark, thank you very much for speaking with PM today.
No, my pleasure, Lindy. Thank you very much.